You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580 and WILL.UIUC.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Today on the program, our monthly program about computers. And today we welcome back to the program science and technology reporter for the News Gazette, Greg Klein. Greg also writes two columns for the newspaper about computing. They run on Mondays in the circuits section of the paper. Computers and You, a topic we take up once a month, now on the third Monday of the month. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with your questions. Here are the telephone numbers in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Welcome back.
Thanks, Celeste. It's good to be here.
Good to see you. If we're headed back to school or we're sending someone off to school, we may be in the market this fall for a laptop. Before we buy, what do we want to think about?
Well, yeah, that seems to be like standard equipment mm-hmm. for going back to school. I saw a story the other day. It shocked me, the price of going back to school. But a big part of that price was the laptop that everybody seems to have now. So I'd say that it's really not very hard to buy a good laptop to use, particularly for general school purposes anymore. In fact, if you go to the store and you pick up a name brand, the least expensive, least powerful one you can get, you'll probably be fine for things like doing papers. And, of course, you're also going to want to do digital music on it and that kind of thing, right?
Right.
So in particular, I don't think you need to worry about the getting the most powerful chip, you know, the 2 gigahertz chip as opposed to the 1.6 gigahertz chip or whatever your various choices are. I think you need to think more in terms of some of the other things that are in there, you know, the the operating systems these days, Windows XP and Mac OS X. They really like to have a lot of random access memory, a lot of RAM. So you want to get a machine that's got at least 512 megabytes of that in there, preferably a gigabyte of RAM, to really make those operating systems run well. Another thing you want to think about is the size of the hard drive, right? Because that's mm-hmm. how much stuff you can hold. It depends on how big that hard drive is. So I like to say probably the minimum I'd want to see in a laptop now is 60 gigabytes, and I'd really like more than that. I'd like 80, or I'd like 100, or even 120, which are becoming pretty common. And of course, you're going to want a drive that plays CDs and probably plays DVDs and probably burns CDs as well. And you might want a drive that burns DVDs, although that's probably not quite as important as having the drive that burns CDs, since burning DVDs is still relatively expensive for storing stuff. You know, the price of CDs at less than 50 cents each. Much better for archiving your materials, although there's not as much room on those. So those are some of the primary things I'd think about. And again, as I tell people, even with desktop machines, I'd look at the screen because I'd try to look at it physically. Because people's tastes vary in the way visually and in the way a screen looks, and that screen is, when you think about it, how you're interacting with your computer. That's your window onto your computer world there. So it's something that people, I think, don't give as much thought to at times as they probably ought to. So I'd like to take a look at that screen, look at how it appears visually and the size of it.
And what about the keyboard?
Well, most laptop keyboards are not greatly different, although there is some variation, and it's not a bad idea to put your hands on that and kind of test it out and see how it feels to you.
And if you're looking for something that you can bring home and then use more comfortably, you might want to consider another keyboard that would be larger and more comfortable for you,
right,
working at
right.
home.
You might want to, if you're going to use it at your desk, when you're back in the dorm room or the apartment or whatever, it's easy to get a relatively inexpensive USB keyboard and mouse and just plug those into your laptop as well.
Okay. Now, with 512 RAM and let's say 80, 100 gigabytes hard drive, what's the price tag? And your CD burner player.
Well, it kind of depends on what brand you buy, but certainly I'd say we're under $1,000 and probably as little as around six. So
yeah, that's really something now, isn't it? You can get a laptop for $600-$700.
Yeah, a good one.
Yeah. So. Windows or Mac? How do you decide?
Well, that's an interesting question now, because. Now you've got Apple has completely converted its line to the same Intel chips that Windows machines have always used. And now you've got two options for running Windows on a Mac, including the MacBook and MacBook Pro laptops. So in a sense, you can have your cake and eat it too, right? You can have a Mac, and if you've got some things that you need to do in Windows, you can run Windows on there as well. Those same things that I kind of outlined for machines in general apply, I think, to Macs, the same kind of specs. I would say this, if you were going to get one of those Mac laptops and you were thinking about running both OS X, Mac OS X, and Windows on it, then I'd probably take the RAM up about as far as I could, probably a couple gigabytes instead of one. Because now, particularly if you're going to be running both operating systems at the same time, now you've got both demanding RAM. So the more you have, the more comfortable those will run. But that's kind of a nice option, I think, for people. It's a little more expensive because Apple charges a little more for its machines. And again, you get a machine that can run both operating systems. And for whatever reason, Apple machines are a lot less susceptible to viruses and spyware and other nasty stuff that kind of plagues Windows machines. So you can use that relatively safe Mac laptop most of the time and avoid that. And then when you need to use Windows, you can switch over and use Windows.
Another thing people are really high on the Macs is for support as well, or that has been the case. Mm-hmm. Is that still the case?
They're still getting good ratings, and they're still generally leading the ratings as far as customer satisfaction. In fact, Consumer Reports just came out new figures for that recently, and they were still at the top of the list. So, most of the companies are doing pretty well too. Even though you have the occasional flaming battery from Dell and that kind of thing.
What's the latest on that?
Well, they've recalled about 4 million of those batteries. So if you got you'll need to look up when the sales dates were, but if you've got one of those laptops, you probably want to check into getting that battery replaced.
When might you want to consider an extended warranty and or insurance for a laptop?
Well, I'm kind of two minds about that. On the one hand, I think that in a lot of cases, extended warranty for most modern electronic devices is not that good an idea. The reason being that generally, if they're going to fail, they're going to fail within the if something's going to go bad, it's going to go bad within the warranty. And then if it doesn't go bad within the warranty, it's going to last for a long, long time before for the life of probably that you'll have the device. So I don't think that people always get their money out of an extended warranty. Now, there's a difference between a static machine that sits on your desktop and a laptop, and that difference is, or there can be. Some people bring a laptop home and it just sits on a desk, right? So it's effectively a desktop and a laptop case. But most people move around with their laptop. So it's getting jostled and, bumped, and more problems can occur. There's more opportunity for problems that occur. So it might be something worth thinking about. And if you're, in places where you're worried about your laptop being unsecured, insurance isn't a bad idea either. If if you're exposed to situations where somebody might filch your laptop, or it might be really damaged, that's something to look into as well. But it's hard for me to conceive of why someone might be in that situation. I know when I'm carrying my laptop, I don't just leave it for anybody to grab. But you know, if you're not as vigilant as I am, maybe that's something you want to think about.
Well, you do see them.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
People get up, they're working in a library right. or in a coffee shop or somewhere, and you do see people get up and leave their
right.
laptop
certainly
up. Yeah. Now, is wireless networking capability a feature that now comes built into all laptops?
I should have said you really want wireless networking capability, obviously. Standard Wi-Fi is how it's referred to commonly, you know, 802.11. B or G, whatever the flavor of it is. But I didn't mention that specifically, and one of the reasons I didn't mention that specifically, or really the big reason why I didn't mention that specifically, is that almost invariably any laptop you're going to buy now is going to have that built into it. And if you want to ask and make sure, that's not a bad idea, but that's probably not something you're going to have to add. It's probably going to be there. And frankly, so is the DVD playing and CD playing and burning drive. That's almost any machine will come with one of those these days. The things you're probably going to want to think about that you might not get in a stock machine are that amount of RAM and that size of a hard drive.
Okay, and another thing about the wireless, the Wi-Fi networking thing, you want to give us some pointers about keeping that laptop secure, that information when you're out using the Wi-Fi service
mm-hmm.
in a library, on the street,
right.
in a coffee shop.
Right. It's a good idea to have. You can turn on an encryption. Okay, there's a method of making that wireless signal as it goes back and forth be scrambled so nobody can just pick it out of the air and read it, although that's not as easy as it as it sounds like to do. So you should be doing that. I would suggest that if you're at a public place, if you're at a hotspot in a coffee shop or even a hotspot in the library, there are things that, you might want to think twice about doing. You might want to think twice about ordering something from Amazon and giving up your credit card, for example, engaging in financial transactions. You know, I don't think you're facing a big problem if you're just, doing research on the web or getting your email, that kind of thing. But I'd be leery in a public place of engaging in financial transactions. You may, in fact, find that it's hard or impossible to connect to some public hotspots and have encryption on. So in that case, you may be using an unprotected signal. And then it's a really bad idea, probably, to engage in anything that's exposing, financial information, your credit card numbers, your social security numbers, your passwords, that kind of thing. And it's a good idea to run your firewall that's built into either Windows XP or built into Mac OS X, which, kind of prevents people from doing some of the things they might do as far as probing around in your computer wirelessly.
So on the laptop, in a situation in public, there is a way to see if your encryption is being...
Well, it's in your wireless settings.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, if you go into the settings for your wireless card that are in your laptop, in the start menu, network, Windows, or the network and control panel in Mac OS X, you'll see a setting there to turn the firewall on and off, or to turn encryption on and off, sorry.
Okay. This is the Afternoon Magazine, and this afternoon we're talking about computers. This is our monthly program on computers, and today our guest is science and technology reporter for the News Gazette, Greg Klein. My name is Celeste Quinn, and listeners, I invite you to join us this afternoon with your questions. Here are the telephone numbers in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. WILL. This is a program we do once a month now on the third Monday of the month here on the Afternoon Magazine. Well, back to talking. We've got a call coming in here on the toll-free line. But before we get to that call, let me ask you a quick question. As you mentioned earlier, notebook hard drives are smaller than those generally in desktops. So how do we keep from cluttering up the laptop's hard drive?
Well, that's the trick, isn't it? Well, you need to think in terms, I guess, of what are the big things that you have in there that may take up a lot of space. If you're a music fan, your music files probably take up a lot of space. If you're a big photo fan and you take photos at a high resolution, they may take up a lot of space. If you're a video fan, do digital video, that probably takes up a lot of space. If you're a gamer, your games, the game programs anyway, usually the game files are not that big that you save. But so those are things that you could think about. Maybe you want to take some of those pictures and move them to a CD or move them to an external hard drive or move them to a DVD if you got a DVD burner and get them off your hard drive. Although now, as I said, anymore, I think 60, 80, 100, 120 are kind of typical sizes for laptops. So that's quite a bit of room. You have to work fairly hard. It isn't that many years ago, just a few, where a laptop was a 10 or 20 gigabyte hard drive, and it wasn't that hard to fill it up, particularly with some of these things like music, pictures, video.
Let's talk now with a listener on our toll-free line. Line 4, where are you calling from this afternoon? Line 4? Hello, the toll-free line?
Yes, hello.
Hi there. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I'm up in Villa Park, Illinois.
Okay.
I had a question. I have a laptop. It's running Windows 98 SE, and I'm having trouble getting the browser to initiate, even though I have a good wireless signal on it. And I was wondering if you might have an idea what I might be able to do to get that browser to display a web page.
What happens when you try and get the browser to go?
I get an error message saying the page can't load.
And do you know what page it's trying to load?
It doesn't matter
whether I'm trying to load
eBay or Yahoo or anything, and it won't even look. It won't even see my antivirus is automatically set to go to the website to download definitions, and it won't go there either.
Right, and it doesn't see that. Well, is this a wireless connection you're using,
yes,
right?
It is, huh?
Yeah. And have you gone into your network settings and let your browser and your email program know that you're using a wireless live connection now instead of a dial-up connection?
I think I've tried, but I'm not sure exactly where to go. I've gone into the network neighborhood and checked to see whether the network was recognizing the wireless connection, and it seems to be doing that.
Right. But you've got an internet connection set up, right?
Yes.
And
I'm running DSL off a router on my desktop computer.
Okay. So it should if it's set for that, it should. And you're trying to pick up the wireless signal at home?
Yeah, I have another laptop that it works just fine on. That's running XP.
Yeah, XP is a lot better at detecting things automatically. I don't have a firm answer for you.
Okay.
I'll say that right now, and I'll also say that one of the problems is that Windows 98, even Windows 98 SE, was like right at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Of the whole wireless thing, right?
Right.
So it's kind of cobbled onto
yeah.
98 and 98 SE, and it isn't those systems aren't as adept as handling it as XP is, as your experience has been.
Guess I'll just have to get the wife a new laptop then.
She might appreciate that.
Yeah. Well. Transferring all the programs over to the new one from the old one that she's going to be fun.
Hey, and if you will email me, I will look into that and see if I can find a better answer for you.
Okay. I've gone and done a Google search and downloaded a whole bunch of pages, and I've been reading those, and I still haven't quite figured it out. So I'm struggling through it, and I thought maybe you might be able to give me a direction to look.
Yeah. Send me – my email is Kline, K-L-I-N-E, at news-gazette.com.
I think I've read your articles in the newspaper when I've gone through and picked up a paper.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, if you'll do that, then I'll look into that, and it'd be probably a helpful answer for other folks as well.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
I just wanted to say I really love your programs. I've listened to WIL for a long time, both Celeste and David Inge, and I miss them because I'm not in driving anymore and on the road to be able to pick up the station very well. But I really appreciate what WIL does for the public.
Well, thank you very much for that, and good luck with the problem. And I think Greg will do his best when he gets back to the paper to help you out as well. Thanks very much for the call this afternoon. Let's take another listener call. Listener line one, where are you calling from this afternoon?
Champaign.
Hi.
Hi. We recently secured our computer, which we'd never done, and the neighbors all around us, we have a wireless connection, and they all said, oh, you need to do this. So my husband did this on his desktop, and the laptop that we have upstairs, we cannot get a connection on. It's just something comes up that says, I can't remember what it says, but we can't use it at all. Is there some magic thing that we need to do to use the wireless somewhere else other than at the main computer?
Now, ma'am, when you say that you have secured your computer, do you know what you did? Do you mean?
No.
Okay.
I don't. I tried to call my husband when I heard you
all right.
on, and I couldn't get him.
Well, you don't need to. You know, I assume your desktop is wired. It's
yes.
connected by a cable, right?
Yes, it is.
So you don't need to worry about wireless encryption, and probably don't have it set for that with your desktop. So then your laptop, though, is connecting wirelessly, right?
Right. That's right.
And here's the thing that probably needs to be done on the laptop end. If you'll go into the your wireless settings and find the settings for encryption, right?
Okay.
So encryption needs to be turned on that laptop. Moreover, okay. when you turned encryption on your wireless base station, your
right.
router, right?
Right.
There are a series of codes in there that are called keys,
okay.
right?
Okay.
And your laptop needs to know about those codes or keys
okay.
so that it can speak to, in essence, to your router.
Okay.
So that's probably the thing that you need to do. You need to go to the settings for the router and get those keys, and then you need to plug them into the laptop.
I see. Yeah, I think we did nothing with the laptop. We
yeah.
only did the things with the main.
Yeah, that'd
I guess
be
on the router. So that's so we just
right.
aren't there yet.
That'd be my first. That'd be my first guess.
Great. Okay.
That the laptop probably needs to know about those keys, and then it will be able to speak to your router.
Great. Okay. Thank you so
All right.
much.
You're
Bye-bye.
Very welcome. Next, we talk with a listener on line two. Good afternoon. A cell phone. Hi.
Hi. How you doing? Hey, I got a question. Just recently moved to an apartment, and we got local cable, and I got my network all set up, but I want to switch to a different service, and, you know, my email goes to the insight.com type. What will I need to do to get all my email to come to the other one, or should I just... Is there some place I can go and get a email that I don't have to be specific as to a service?
Now, sir, are you going to keep your cable connection?
I'd like to change it, but I don't want to go through all that and send each guy a change of address. I'd
right.
like to just change it as they come in. And I thought, well, if I went to, like, if somebody had a an email service or something, you know, public, I could go to that? Or what's a good way to swap email providers?
Well, I hear you asking me a couple of questions. One is, what happens when you, if you're going to get rid of your Insight account, what happens to that email?
Right.
And the answer there pretty much is, although there are some ways you can try to get around this, but the answer there pretty much is that once that account's gone, it's gone, right?
That address is gone, right?
Yeah, the address is gone, and Insight, if you close your account, is not going to, you know,
not going to forward it.
Yeah, yeah, probably not for very long. Let me put it
that
way.
Can't understand why not.
So that's the answer to that. Now, the second thing is, you know, you might want to. I don't know what you're going to switch to, but what you might want to think about is starting an account with like Yahoo or Google's Gmail, right? Those are free. They're web interfaces, so you can get your email anywhere.
Uh-huh.
Google also happens to not only be a web interface, but also be a regular email interface. So you could get it with a program like Outlook Express or Apple's Mail or whatever.
Right.
Yahoo wants you to pay a little to be able to do that, but they also are capable of doing that.
Right.
So that would be like a traveling account. It wouldn't matter what service provider you were using.
Okay.
You know, you could be using Insight. You could be using some AT&T DSL. Uh-huh. You could be using Volo, the wireless provider in town, whatever.
Yeah.
Or you could be, you know, anywhere in the country in the world at an internet-connected computer and get to that email account.
Next question. You say they're free, but learn from experience there's no such thing as a free lunch. Am I going to get all kinds of spam if I go to Google and Yahoo? Or?
Well, I have not noticed that. You know, I have accounts with both for various reasons, testing and other things, and have never really noticed a big increase in junk email from doing that.
Okay.
I think I'm getting any more, I probably think I'm getting it a little more from the Yahoo account than the Gmail account.
Yeah.
And overall, I'd say the Gmail account is somewhat more functional, although not, you know, measurable.
I set up a wireless network at my previous address, but, you know, the whole thing wasn't wireless. And now I'm entirely wireless, and I'm only going to be here for 6 months, and I'm thinking, oh, God, do I got to do this every time I change providers. So the Google sounds like a heck of a good idea.
Right.
Okay.
And that's the no-cost way of doing it. There are other ways that, and if you look into it a little, you can find services that will provide you essentially with a permanent email address, at least as long as they're in business, right?
Right.
And so that's another kind of thing you might think about.
Okay. Well, I sure appreciate you taking the time and talking to me. Okay. Have a nice day.
You too. Thanks for the call. Next, we talk with a listener on line 4 in Champaign County. Hello?
Hi.
Vermilion County. I'm sorry.
All right. I wonder if Greg's News Gazette columns from the past are archived or online, and how do you access them?
Unfortunately, they're not. And I'm going to disclaim and say that, and that's not my decision. But someone higher up at the paper has decided that they weren't going to put those things online, and I think it's a bad idea. One thing you can do is Google it, though, and since we're a member of various syndicates like the Associated Press, those things often go out and get run by other papers who actually put them on their websites. And you can often find them there.
So Google your name?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
If you Google my name and News Gazette, you can often find them.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Next, we talk with a listener on line 3. Where are you calling from this afternoon?
Urbana.
Urbana, hi.
Yeah, hi. I've got a question that I've had no luck in answering having to do with a browser, Firefox in particular.
Uh-huh.
When I first got it, I had it set up five tabs that to come up every time I logged on,
right,
or brought up the browser. But despite numerous attempts, I can't figure out how to reduce the number of tabs now. Like, for example, drop one off. I can only drop it off after I've already brought all five up. So do you know of any way to permanently drop one of the five I bring up all the time?
So you don't want that
anymore. Right. And I can't seem to, every time I query the help things that they've got on for that, it just puts me, sends me to a situation where I can just drop off a tab after it's already been up.
Right.
Can't stop it from coming up in the first place.
So, I wish I had a copy of Firefox in front of me here, but I don't. So let me kind of describe it to you this way, and then you could kind of fish around there and find it, okay?
Yeah, I have it up.
If you look at your, I believe if you look at your bookmarks, your favorites.
Okay.
Do you get a bunch of folders?
Yeah.
And those tabs are just shortcuts in one of those folders. I don't know which one it would be exactly, okay? And all you want to do is open that folder and just delete that bookmark.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, and that'll take you back. Then instead of having a folder with five bookmarks in it or five shortcuts in it, you'll have a folder with four shortcuts in it, right?
There's a bookmarks toolbar folder. Do you think that's what they're talking about?
Why don't you open that up and see?
Well, it says getting started in latest headlines for me. And getting started, I remember going through before. And it did not.
Is there a folder getting started?
Yeah.
Can you open that?
Yeah, I'm trying to right now. Oh, I have to be logged down to do it, apparently.
Well, then I'd say try opening that folder, and I think you should see those shortcuts in there.
I'll give it a try.
Yeah, and if you delete the shortcut that you want to get rid of, that ought to take you back to four tabs instead of five.
Okay. Thanks.
All right.
Okay, give it a try, and no one is waiting to talk with us at the moment, so give it a try, and if you need to, you can call us back, right?
Right.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Greg Klein is our guest this afternoon. He's science and technology reporter for the News Gazette. Boy, I'm having a rough Monday here this afternoon, Greg. And this is the Afternoon Magazine. My name is Celeste Quinn. And listeners, you can join us this afternoon with questions about computers. Computers and you, a topic we take up once a month, now on the third Monday of the month. Here are the phone numbers in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Listener on line 4, I believe. Yes, the toll-free line. Good afternoon.
Hi. I don't know whether you could help me with this specific problem or not, but we'll give it a shot. I have a Seagate backup, and I ordered a new reuse cartridges on it, and it's a iMation Trevan cartridge, and it's the same cartridge I've been using forever. But the new one that I purchased, I keep getting a message saying that this media cannot be used with the device, and it gives me a reference number. Could you give me an idea what that might mean? Would you know?
So, do you know what the number is, ma'am?
Yes, the reference number.
Yeah, did you?
Yes.
Tell me is there a text that goes along with it?
No, it just says a reference. It says reference 05-13-23-01-3000, and it doesn't give me any other information. I keep going into a loop no matter what I do.
And say again how that happens.
If I go to identify or initialize this particular tape, I just keep getting that same message that the media cannot be used with the device.
Yeah.
And it's the same. It's the exact same tape that I've always used, cartridge. And I don't know if it's something with the cartridge itself. Maybe it's defective. Or
yeah, it's possible. How long have you been using it?
Well, it's a brand new one. I just bought it.
Oh, okay.
So I'm replacing another one that I'm afraid is getting too old. So
yeah.
But it has the same, you know, the same number, you know, reorder number on it as the one I'm replacing.
Right, right.
But it just keeps, you know, I just keep looping back and forth to the same message. And I just thought, you know, I'd take a shot in the dark and see if maybe you could tell me why I keep getting
it. No, not off the top of my head. Okay. And again, if you will email me, the problem and then the number. Mm-hmm. There, then I'll try and see what I can find out.
Okay.
And off the top of my head, you know, I would say it's possible that that it's a bad tape. I mean, every once in a while you get whether it's a CD or a DVD or a tape, you get one that you know isn't right and may have a problem. But I'm not going to swear that that's what it is in this situation.
Okay. Well, thank you for trying.
Okay.
So let me quickly say, because I got up a copy of Firefox here. I think if that guy goes, he doesn't need to go to bookmarks toolbar folder getting started. That actually takes him to Welcome to Firefox. What he needs to go to is bookmarks and manage bookmarks. There's a whole bunch of folders in there, and he should find a folder with his startup tabs there in manage bookmarks, and that's where he can delete that shortcut and get rid of the one he doesn't want anymore.
Okay. And let's talk with another listener. Caller on line one. Good afternoon.
Yes. Good afternoon, Greg. Could you tell me what the safest internet provider is for avoiding NSA government surveillance? I know it's a semi-political question. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
I probably don't have a good answer for that, and in fact, my answer would probably be there probably aren't any of them that are safe, because it seems like most of them are just rolling over when they're asked to do whatever by the NSA. Certainly, though, there are some that we know have bad track records at this point, at least in their operations as phone companies, so you might want to think twice about having AT&T DSL if you're concerned about NSA surveillance.
Okay, let's go on and take another call. Listener on line two, hi.
Yeah, hi, Greg. I'm getting ready to buy a new computer, and I have not actually owned my own computer since I owned an 8088, so that tells you how long ago. Because I've had access to so many great ones at work and everything, but I finally have broken down and decided to get one. And I'm thinking of getting a laptop, because I've used those a lot, and I love the portability of it. So my question, it's kind of a big question, but I mean, is there a particular brand of laptop that has a good track record for service and things like that? And then also, what are some of the things I should be looking for, minimum megabytes and so on and so forth, to be trying to get? I want to do mostly just word processing, maybe some, photo, storing photos and small database entry, that kind of work. No large stuff, but also I would like to have the Bluetooth wireless capability.
All right. Are you going to be using this for work at all?
Initially not. I am thinking about getting started with some of my own business stuff, so possibly, yes.
Okay.
And that would be more, using it more just for keeping track of records and things, and maybe some photography,
right,
storing some photographic records.
Well, as we kind of started out talking about with respect to laptops going back to school, really, I think the same thing would fit in your case. You know, go and don't worry about getting the most expensive laptop you can find with the most powerful brain, so to speak. You know, whether it's a 1.6 gigahertz chip or a 2 gigahertz chip or a 2.3 gigahertz chip, doesn't really matter.
Okay.
All of those are functional for the kind of stuff that you want to do. What you want to worry more about is that it's got plenty of RAM, as I said, random access memory, and I think you want about a gigabyte
right
of that. And
how,
it's a bit,
how much RAM, you said?
I at least 512 megabytes.
Okay.
And I like a gigabyte.
Okay.
And then worry about the size of your hard drive, because that's the place where you store everything. And
okay.
I try to get 60, 80, 100, 120.
Okay. And do you have a brand preference as far as service reliability?
Well, what I generally tell people is you're usually better off with a name brand, although that doesn't mean that there aren't some good, not necessarily, you know, big name brands out there. But, you know, think in terms of, despite its battery problems, Dell and Hewlett Packard is getting rave reviews for what it's been doing lately. And what used to be IBM and is now Lenovo, a Chinese company actually, that is making their laptops now. Those are the kind of things. Fujitsu, if you're Sony, if you're thinking about on the Windows side, you know, if you're thinking about on the Mac side, then you don't have to worry about it. All you have to do is buy an Apple, which is not a bad idea, I might add. Depending on how, you know, if you've got a lot of time in with Windows, you probably don't want to switch operating systems. If this is going to be a laptop for you to use yourself, you're the one that's going to be administering and maintaining it. You're likely to have fewer problems with an Apple than you are with a Windows machine. Fewer hassles, let me put it that way.
Do you recommend the extended warranties of laptops?
Only if you're going to be moving it around a lot.
Okay.
If it's really going to be mobile, then probably not a bad idea, because as I said earlier, again, there are more opportunities for it to get damaged that way.
Okay.
But if you're not going to move it much, you know, if it's just going to be a not very mobile machine,
inside then, the house kind of thing.
Yeah, then you might not need to worry about that as much.
And is there how do you recommend a person go about finding out the best way to get the security system, you know, for when you're on the Internet and things like that?
Well, you can read my column. I talk about that with some frequency. I'll say that. But, you know, essentially you want to do three big things, right? You want to have antivirus software in there. You want to make sure that you keep that antivirus software up to date. You want to have some anti-spyware software in there. I recommend SpyBot Search and Destroy and Add-Aware. If you Google those, you can get either one of those for nothing.
Okay.
They're free. You want to have the firewall on that's built into either Windows. That's built into Windows. If you're using a Mac, you want to get antivirus software, that's okay. But frankly, there are no viruses in the wild for the Mac right now.
Okay.
There is no spyware
okay.
for the Mac right now. And it's got a built-in firewall. So,
can you mention your website one more time for those of us that tuned in later?
If you want to read my column in the News Gazette.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you want to email me, it's Kline, Kline. At news-gazette.com.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. And let's squeeze one last caller in this afternoon, but we'll have to be quick about it. Line 4, good afternoon. Hi.
Good afternoon. I will make it fast because I think you answered half my questions. I had two questions, but I'll just go with one. I want to get replace my CPU because my my computer is slower than molasses in the wintertime.
Uh-huh.
And I heard you say getting 1 gig RAM, and I think that's what I would like to see. And then you were talking about the hard drive being 60, 100, or 120.
That's in a laptop.
Oh, okay.
Are you getting a desktop machine?
Yes.
Then by all means, demand 160, 250, or 500.
Okay, 160 to 500?
160, 250, or 500 would probably be about the standard sizes that are coming in desktops these days.
Okay.
So,
okay, and you started to say something and I missed. You said for security, you said antivirus, spyware. What was the third thing?
Antivirus software. You want some spyware software, probably a couple pieces of it because there are all kinds of spyware out there and one doesn't catch all.
Okay.
And you want to use the firewall. Either the one that's built into Windows or Mac OS X, or a third-party program like And I'm drawing a blank. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Windows and Mac OS X have firewalls built in. And
so if I buy like Norton's the security package.
Yeah. That would cover a lot of those needs. Zone Alarm is the firewall, the third party firewall that's free that I was thinking about. That's good for Windows.
Okay. Is there anything else I need to look for? I mean, aside from the gig and the hard drive, I'm not sure what else to make sure I have minimum of for a desktop. Is there anything else I need to?
I would think primarily about the RAM and the size of the hard drive, and then whether you want a DVD burner as well as a DVD player. Certainly, you're going to get one that plays DVDs and burns CDs. But the only other thing you might think about in that is whether you want to burn DVDs as well, can hold a lot more stuff.
Okay, is it really advantageous to get that or not at this point in time?
I don't think so because the discs are so expensive still.
Okay. Oh, so I can go with a DVD player and a CD burner.
That's what I think.
And that would, okay. All right. Yeah, I don't want to buy too much because I've done that in the past, and then spend the money. Anything else that I need to ask for?
No, I think you'd be pretty good. If you're going to get a new monitor, get a nice one.
Okay. There, we'll leave it. We're out of time. Greg Klein, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And if you'd like to get in touch with Greg, if you've got a question, he might be able to help you and answer it in the column and help a lot of other folks along the way. His email is Klein, KLINE, @news-gazette.com.